It's time for Supply Chain Now Radio, sponsored by Apex Atlanta and Talent Stream. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia, Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the companies, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. Now, here are your hosts.
All right. Good afternoon. Scott Luton here with you live on Supply Chain Now Radio. Welcome to the show. We're glad that you've chosen to join us. We're broadcasting live today from beautiful Savannah, Georgia. Typically, we're up in Atlanta, but we had a little vacation to come down to the beautiful Georgia coast. In fact, we're at Savannah Technical College, our host today. A big show lined up. So if you're listening live to us, or if you listen to this on a replay and you want to check us out next live, you can go to our website, supplychainnowradio.com, click the big red button, and we usually feature the very next show. So we try to make it as easy as possible. Of course, you can find us on Apple Podcasts and SoundCloud, where you can search for Supply Chain Now Radio. And of course, we invite you to subscribe. It's very easy. You never miss a show, and you'll get access to about 90 podcasts and webinars that we have produced and loaded on those channels thus far. So in addition to our regular sponsors, Apex Atlanta and Talent Stream, today's episode is brought to you by the Savannah supply chain guy who was with us this morning, Bill Stankiewicz. If you're looking for local supply chain go-to resource, advisory, you name it, in the Savannah area especially, you need warehouse space. If you've got a supply chain problem, raise your hand if you've got one of those. Give Bill a call. You can learn more at SavannahSupplyChain.com. Bill Stankiewicz, big friend of the show, and he will help you out. So this is the second of three segments that we are doing today as we continue our Savannah Business Leadership Series on Supply Chain Now Radio. This afternoon, we're featuring Laura Lee Bocade, Market Development and Green Team Leader for DIRT Environmental Solutions. Good afternoon, Laura Lee.
Good afternoon, Scott.
Glad to have you again. Been a big friend of the show for quite some time, and of course, deeply involved in the Savannah business community. Looking forward to interviewing you here momentarily.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
You bet. And then we have Stephen Nottingham, CEO and co-founder of Friend Design. Good afternoon, Stephen.
Hey, good afternoon, Scott.
Great to have you as well. I really enjoyed the warm-up conversation we had, learning more about your business, and looking forward to picking your brain here shortly.
Sounds good.
So, again, thanks to our listeners for joining us on Supply Chain Now Radio. Let's kick off this show, as we do oftentimes, with a couple of the top things known in supply chain now. So today, for this show, I'm going to be cherry-picking a few headlines from the latest copy of the Logistics Market Snapshot, which came out Thursday morning. Emily Butler, who I know you know, Laura Lee, and the great people. Emily does a great job helping to bring business here and grow business. Emily is with the Georgia Center of Innovation for Logistics, and they produce this monthly collection, data points, market developments, just news you really need to know. So I'm cherry picking from that came out Thursday morning. First topic, and here's some good news. We all need some good news, right?
We do.
We all need good news. So reports of cargo theft in the U.S. dropped 19% between 2017 and 2018, according to numbers from CensaGuard. So did you know that in 2019, there were 592 thefts in the U.S., cargo thefts, worth an average of $142,000? And can you believe this? Full truckloads, where they stole the whole thing, accounted for 74% of cargo thefts. Holy cow. Reminds me of like Goodfellas or some of those movies,
exactly,
right?
Exactly what I thought of. That's right. The Lufthansa heist.
Yes. Now, as you can imagine, electronics were the most common item stolen, making up of 20% of all thefts, I guess, a plurality. So we talk about a lot about cybersecurity. It came up this morning, and that will continue to come up. But this report illustrated to me how traditional security is still very important in today's supply chain world. I still can't get over 74%. Full truckloads. Bold criminals. all right, so speaking of supply chain, we've got a lot of stuff to move, right? If we think about supply chain in terms of end-to-end supply chain, where it's not just transportation, is kind of how we speak to it here on the show. But at the core, supply chain is about movement, and that's the backbone of the end-to-end supply chain. So in 2018, Norfolk Southern, one of the major players in the train transportation space, announced it was moving its headquarters from Norfolk, Virginia, to Atlanta, Georgia. And here recently at an investors conference in Atlanta, the train company, the railroad company, laid out its plan to implement Precision Scheduled Railroading, PSR, another acronym. We love our acronyms in supply chain. The plan includes centralizing operations, reducing staff, running fewer, heavier, faster trains, and optimizing the network in order to increase efficiency. The CEO, Jim Squires, said the railroad is going to be changing its service and prioritizing loads differently in a move towards what he said, quote, being clear about what we can and can't do, unquote. So that probably means some of its current book of business is no longer a good fit for Norfolk Southern. So changes are coming to the railroads for sure. And, of course, it's critical in port cities like Savannah, which is one of the fastest growing North American ports, you know, because it's how we get our products in to the inland ports and then to the, you know, to our households, right? So that'll be interesting to kind of keep our finger on as that develops and the changes, the improvements, you know, optimization goes on within the railroad industry. So if you want more information about the logistics market snapshot or, you know, all the other resources and activities that the Georgia Center of Innovation for Logistics is involved in, you can reach out to Emily Butler at ebutler@georgia.org. All right, moving right along. So we're going to bring on our first guest today on Supply Chain Now Radio, Ms. Laura Lee Bocade, Market Development and Green Team Leader at DIRT Environmental Solutions. Good afternoon again, Laura Lee.
Good afternoon, Scott.
It is so neat to have you here. We've talked about this and featuring you for quite some time, and I think you've got clones because you stay so busy, and it's good to have you here and carve out a little time on this Friday afternoon. So DIRT was founded in 2004. It's grown to over 1,100, y'all's words, dirt bags.
Dirt bags, that's right.
Headquartered in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, but huge presence here in Savannah. In fact, I believe we initially met back when the company was named a Georgia Manufacturer of the Year by the governor a few years back, right?
Yes.
And y'all brought a busload of dirt bags. It was where I remember so vividly. And it came on the stage with you. It was just such a neat moment. That Georgia Manufacturing Appreciation Week banquet is such a neat vehicle for celebrating everyone's contributions to you know, company success, I've always thought.
Absolutely it is. And it was interesting because the organizing group had never really been asked before, can we bring the entire team?
Really?
No. And they were wonderful. They said yes. And boy, so many dirt bags wanted to go. I think we had 24.
Love it.
That went with us. It was fantastic.
It really is. And that's
going to... They're the award winners. It's not me.
That's right. Yep. That event's coming up again soon. It's usually around the first week or two of
Correct.
April, I believe. So, what a great move by the state of Georgia to set aside a whole week for celebrating the manufacturing industry. So really neat and looking forward to this year's winners. So, talk to us about DIRT. You know, how does it serve its customers?
So DIRT stands for doing it right this time. DIRT's tackling an industry that hasn't changed much, certainly is not technologically advanced. It hasn't changed much in over 100 years. Mm. So doing it right this time for us means we're going to tackle the interior construction environment. And DIRT builds in our factories walls, power, networks. We build flooring systems. We have a timber frame division. And our goal really is to make everything in a controlled environment, fast, quickly, efficiently, made 100% custom for any client that comes in. We make it fast. In fact, we guarantee currently, no matter what solution you purchase from DIRT, that we're going to deliver it in 2 to 4 weeks.
Wow.
So that's a construction solution that can be delivered largely pre-manufactured, so we call prefab construction.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to deliver it to your site, largely done, and install it very quickly. So it's a rapid construction solution, and that speed's never been associated with the construction industry.
Yeah, that 2 to 4 weeks just jumps out
that's
in my
guarantee.
Ears. Holy cow. And 100% custom.
100% custom. Well, construction is custom. No client wants the same thing. So we operate in education, in healthcare, in the commercial market, in hospitality markets. Nobody really knows, A, what they want until they see it and design it. And secondly, they don't know what's going to happen down the road.
Mm.
So we're building a construction solution that allows change over time.
Mm. So of those different sectors you just mentioned, what What was the busiest in 2018?
Likely healthcare.
Yeah.
I would say healthcare. Healthcare is absolutely, there's a higher criteria for them. Certainly the acuity in healthcare is something that we can address very easily. Healthcare also has, I think, more demand and need for quick change in their environment.
Mm.
It's also one of the industries that's more technologically advanced because we have to, healthcare is continually advancing, and they've got to have spaces that can keep up with that technology advancement.
Absolutely. So switching gears a little bit from dirt, I want to kind of dive into your personal journey, how you got to the leadership role that you're in. I think it's really interesting. Our listeners, you know, we're all trying to learn by the hour in this environment. And anything you learned along the way that our listeners would really appreciate. Kind of talk to about how did you get to where you are?
You know, there are two schools of thought around this. We think we plan out our lives, and we study certain things, and we have goals and career paths that we jump on. And certainly in youth, we do that. And we sort of keep our eye on that goal. Mm. And then what happens is opportunities come along and we shift gears. So I started off, interestingly, in New York City in the fashion industry.
Wow.
So I've come a long way. I would say, have I directed that journey? Largely not.
Mm.
A lot of the things that I've learned along the way have helped me where I am now. DIRT happened to be at a place and a time in the recession. DIRT arrived here in 2008.
Mm.
So how I landed here is simply having decided to sort of shift my focus from what I had been doing into human resources management.
Mm. Mm.
DIRT came to town. They were looking for someone, although they don't have human resources. They do have a talent team.
Mm.
They hired me sort of because I was a little bit out of the box.
Right.
So us out of the box people who have a career, we have places to go, and DIRT is that great home for me and 1,500 other DIRT bags.
Mm. So what in the fashion space, and when we think of custom, you know, all that's involved there, how is that really kind of plugged in well with how 100% custom all the DIRT products are?
Well, interestingly, I started off in fashion because I like the fashion business. What I ended up in fashion is in supply chain. So my
really?
Job, yes, I was a product development sourcing person.
Wow.
That's what I did. The last 5 or 7 years of my career, I was an overseas specialist. I would take something that someone wanted to produce in the fashion industry, and I would go over there and find not only the raw materials, but I would find the manufacturers that could make it. And if it was something nobody ever made before, which fashion wants to be the guy who never made that before, I would find factories who were making A that could now make Z. So I was in supply chain even before I knew or called it supply chain.
Mm.
And I became a specialist at that, at finding that niche, finding that item, finding that guy who could make the thing that nobody ever made.
Solving that problem.
Solving the problem, and that's what supply chain management really is. And it's interesting at DIRT because we are in the same space, only we call it manufacturing, technologically enabled manufacturing.
Mm. So let's talk about problem solving for just a moment, because that's a lot of what we do in supply chain, right? We solve problems constantly, putting out fires constantly, whether we've created them or I'm not going to say the customer creates them, but you know. So is there a best practice that I'm kind of, we didn't talk about this in warm up, but is there something that you've found in your career when we're solving these problems and serving the customers? Is there one timeless piece of advice that you've learned and you relearn with each situation?
Don't be afraid to say, I don't know how to do it.
Mm.
I don't know what that is. I don't know what the solution is, but we're going to find it.
Yep.
There's this barrier to, I think, all learning and all advancement, and that is, I already know the answer, or there is no answer.
Mm.
Contempt prior to investigation, if you will.
Mm.
So at DIRT, it's really it's encouraged me to be a better person in my personal life about, we don't know what the answer is, we don't know what the solution is, no one's ever done that before, but guess what? We're going to figure this out. And it's really not that far of a distance.
Right.
Demand creates the supply chain.
Right.
And our clients are, that's why we value them so much.
Yeah, you know, along these lines, our first guest in the first segment was Eric Schmidt. He came in, was talking about M&A activity within the supply chain industry, which is really an interesting topic that we don't talk enough about. And he sat down and he said this was his first podcast. And I said, well, that makes two of us. And he got a good chuckle. You know, he looked around and stuff. So but I love that because it's empowering when you're and you know, that's why I love transparency, because it is so, in this day and age where there's so much stress if you look for it, it is such a free thing to do to tell someone, look, that makes two of us. I don't know. I don't have the answer. So that's, I love that simple lesson on problem solving you shared there. So how long have you been in Savannah now, Larley?
So my family's from here, so I've been back in Savannah working since 2000.
Okay, wow, okay.
You know, and they say when you grow up here or you have family here, you'll always come back here. And I used to say, New York City, Savannah. I think I'll stay in New York. So bless my mom's heart, she finally saw me come back here before she passed away. But Savannah is a very different town than it was then. Mm. And so just the fact that we're having a supply chain discussion and you're doing podcasts out of Savannah, that was something that wouldn't have happened possibly 10, 12, 15 years ago.
Yeah, I tell you, Savannah is, they're a business market on fire. The ports, we were talking about the ports earlier this morning. We hope to have them on the show coming real soon. They shipped the first Telluride this week. So
absolutely.
If you watch the Super Bowl,
yes.
You saw the commercial in West Point, Georgia, really neat commercial. And, you know, that's going to move that export needle. And, of course, the ports does such a – we were talking about the more consumers, more – folks that live in Georgia need to know what they do down at the ports to make, you know, everything happen. You know what I mean? So been back in Savannah since 2000. And talk about, you know, not necessarily supply chain trends, but what are you seeing out in the marketplace? What are some of the tea leaves from the trend standpoint that you're picking up on?
I think more and more advancement in technology and more integration of technology, not only within your own business, but in terms of communicating with all of the other people. So from the client side, absolutely. Our clients are demanding today when we design a space for them. They want to go into the space, walk into it, and make changes. So that's virtual reality or augmented reality or artificial intelligence. How are we going to take these technological advances and actually put them into production? Put them into our supply chain? How do we make them pragmatic so that they're accessible and can be used by anyone anytime?
One of my favorite words, pragmatic.
Pragmatic.
One of my favorite words, because we can get so excited about the concepts and the hypothesis, but, you know, it's got to be practical in our line of business, right?
And I will say, you know, again, my orientation always is to people, and because people are the heart and soul of everything, literally, and in a business situation, technology is about people. Technology doesn't matter if it doesn't serve people. Mm. So in our business, we want to make sure we have the best technology that does things that nobody else can do in our space, which we do have. We have a software called ICE. Mm. We call it ICE because it melts across the whole process. So from the client directly to the production floor, directly onto the job site. Mm. That is transparency 100%. But that technology doesn't matter if it's not accessible to our people.
That's right.
And it has to be easy to use, and it has to be cutting edge. So how do you do that with a piece of technology or with a type of technology? We've had virtual reality for a really long time. If we can't deliver that opportunity to every single client that wants it, we're not doing our jobs. Mm. We had a client last week, and we took our VR headset into his space, and we said, we've been working with you guys for 3 weeks, time to put the headset on. And three of the four partners were just, give me that headset. I can't wait to do it. And they walked into the space, and they were having a great time.
Right.
The fourth partner, probably I would have considered the most leading edge, he said, I'm not doing that.
Wow.
I just don't want to go there. Mm. So, but it's accessible. It's available. And in the end, we're going to have a better result because that client's been in the space. They've seen it. And before we build it, they already know what it's going to look like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, VR, so we do this supply chain 101 in schools, and we have one slide that kind of shows some of the supply chain careers, some of the jobs, and one of them that we list is technologist, and the little graphic is folks using VR. Mm. So, you know, our main audience is third, fourth, and fifth graders. We've been doing a lot of third graders here lately. It's amazing how these kids know what that is, and not only know what it is, but can talk about how they've used it. You know, and so when we were putting this program together, we thought that it would take hours of explaining. Oh, no. You're lucky to have 10 minutes before they figure it all out and are teaching you. So, you know, it's been a very rewarding experience. But so you are utilizing VR and other technologies that are getting a lot of buzz in the industry, it sounds like, too, right?
Absolutely.
And ICE, is that a tell me more about what that is.
So ICE was created at the same time. So dirt can't be dirt without ICE.
Okay.
So doing it right this time is about doing it better and introducing technology into an industry that doesn't use it very well. And so this is not a slam on construction, because construction
builds everything that we live and work and play in. But we don't use technology well. We use technology for design and construction. We don't use it anywhere else. So we have different players throughout the construction process, from client all the way to install, and each one of them is using some type of technology, but none of it's connected. It's that connection of one person to another, from the guy in the factory floor and the connection to our client or the general contractor on the job site. How are we connecting? How are we using technology that connects people instead of dissects people?
And helps communication.
Absolutely. Yeah. And without that communication press, that's where our problems in speed to market. So we design something in the construction industry and we build it 12 months later, 18 months later. How are we solving problems with technology? That's what ICE does. So ICE was created to really be a one software, one-stop shop for the design, the engineering, the production specs, the installation, and the final build. It also serves us when clients want to change the space. We just simply reconfigure it in ICE and we can rebuild it and reuse lots of the things we've already used in the
change point
space.
Control.
Absolutely.
but what you finish with there, being able to reuse, and it cuts down on waste and makes more for a greener operation, right?
You know, I'm sad to say that that's not a driving factor for most people. What drives folks to dirt mostly now is speed to market. When a hospital wants to deliver an ER, they want to do it in as little time as possible because time is money in an ER. In a school, they need to build something between the end of May and the beginning of August before kids come back, and it has to be complete, it has to be finished. So when speed to market's a driver, dirt's always in consideration.
Fascinating. Dirt can't be dirt without ICE.
Dirt can't be dirt without ICE.
Love it. So let's shift gears a little bit and let's talk about APIX and ASCM. They're one and the same in many ways. For those listeners that haven't heard us talk about this, APIX Atlanta is one of our sponsors. They've been around serving the Metro Atlanta community for almost 60 years. And for those all that entire time frame, APIX was the parent company of the organization based in Chicago. Well, really a bold move that was announced last fall, APIX created a new parent company called ASCM, the Association for Supply Chain Management. And while we're all digesting change right now as longtime volunteers for APIX, at the end of the day, it's going to make for a more powerful organization. It's going to offer a lot more for its members and folks that plug in. So APIX isn't going anywhere, but it remains one of the core offerings of ASCM, and the certifications stick around. There'll be a little bit of branding and marketing changes as I'm looking at the backdrop behind our guests here. But APIX is built a strong reputation for serving the supply chain community and equipping them with leading certifications. And to bring it kind of local, Larley is on the board for APIX Savannah, which was launched about a year and a half ago,
correct,
roughly.
Mm-hmm.
Led by our fearless leader, Jeff Leroy.
He's the reason that we're one of the number one clubs in America, because Jeff has just driven us in an incredible... I wouldn't say drive. He's led us.
Right.
He is a true leader, and he truly believes in APIX and ASCM and what can be done. And he has truly done most of the legwork, most of the backbreaking work of getting this chapter up and running. He's a phenomenal individual and very humble.
Yes, very humble.
Very humble.
Very humble. So APIX Savannah was invited to the APIX Top 50 chapter symposium in Orlando a month or two ago. On its laurels, because y'all have gained so much traction in such a little time frame in an era where, the industry association game has changed so much. Folks don't have nearly as much time for it as they used to, and from my observation. And so to see all the progress that APIX Savannah has made, education-wise, programs-wise, service-wise, getting leaders like yourself on the board and engaging them. Y'all have done a great job. And so your role with on the board is
marketing. I'm VP of marketing. And that's perfect, because what's interesting to me is that the folks that initially joined our chapter are people who are truly in this supply chain space. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no question about it. What's ended up happening is many people who didn't realize they were supply chain leaders,
right,
have found a niche in this chapter.
Right.
And supply chain's a lot more than what people might think it is. And I've even had that said to me by one of our recent members is, gosh, I didn't realize I belonged here.
Yep. Well, yeah, I think the... So I had lunch with a manufacturer Tuesday up in the Atlanta area, and they have coined a new job come out, a supply chain analyst is what they called it. And as they shared that with the schools, because they were really looking for, you know, recent graduate, what have you, they kept getting only transportation-focused sure. candidates. And that really spoke to something we all know is you know, folks tend to not think of it in terms of end-to-end supply chain, where we're talking, you know, procurement to design to production and manufacturing to then transportation. I mean, transportation is always involved, but, you know, logistics and warehousing. And then these days, reverse logistics, because that is the, in retail especially, you got to have it. You got to be able to execute. That's one of the, as we all know, one of the huge advantages Amazon has. You want it 2 hours, great. You want to send it back and let us pick it up from your
for free.
Yes. I just, you know, it is really remarkable. And none of that could happen without a world-class supply chain team that makes that happen. So end-to-end supply chain is what we're talking about. And to your point, folks are still uncovering that they are supply chainers, whether they know it or not, maybe.
Well, and I think students are. Mm. One of the things we all talk about is workforce and availability of workforce. And it's been 20-plus years since we've been in schools talking to kids about non-traditional career pathing. So we don't necessarily have to go to college. You can go to college, but we haven't been talking about manufacturing careers, logistics right. careers, certainly supply chain or manufacturing careers. And so now we're kind of running to catch up. And I met with the school system is doing incredibly well mm-hmm. here. They recognize this need. They know that by the time kids are in high school, it's maybe too late to influence them as to what Definitely. Industry to go into. So I think 4th to 6th, 7th, 8th grade, that's the sweet spot.
So, you know, our friend Bill Stankiewicz, and I'm very partial. I've got a Bill Stankiewicz tattoo on my right arm, I think.
I think you're the leader of his fan club, but I thought I was the leader yeah. of his fan club.
So, but to your point, Laura Lee, he took a group of 5th graders into the Georgia Ports Authority to have them connect the dots and see it and hear it and experience it. And, you know, we've got to have that to
no
happen
doubt.
More and more and more, because it's but we also, and as we've talked with educators up in the Atlanta area, you know, they're certainly trying to engage students, but they're also trying to engage the parents who, yes. rightly or wrongly, have certain stereotypes of certain industries, you know, and you know, manufacturing, this isn't 1984 manufacturing or 64. This is, you know, 2019 manufacturing industry is very exciting, lucrative, as is, you know, supply chain roles. So appreciate what you're doing. And, you know, in general, Laura Lee, you're very well connected and very involved in the community, which I've always admired since we've known each other. I mean, not just APIX, where, you know, you're a board volunteer, but a variety of other associations, right?
But I think they all loop together in getting young people involved in our professional associations. And so I'm going to loop back to APIX, because one of the goals I have for our group, and I think we all do, is involving students. Mm. So think about the parent. How's that parent going to feel if that child's already part of a professional association in an industry they didn't think was professional?
Love it.
So that's how APIX is going to help us. And I also belong to NAWIC, which is the National Association of Women in Construction. Mm-hmm. We also focus very much on young people, enticing young people into manufacturing and construction careers, and women especially. So women are still largely unrepresented and in this industry, in manufacturing, less than 25%. Mm. In construction, less than 20%. So how do we get the message out there to young girls that construction's cool, manufacturing's cool?
Amen. Amen. You know, as a father of 2 daughters, I want them to believe they can do whatever they want to do. And, you know, if you look at the numbers, we do some volunteering with showme50.org. You may have met
yes.
Elba Prow Gallagher, who's wonderful. She pointed the numbers out to me. If you look at, there's 500 schools now that have some kind of supply chain program, technical college or university or whatever. Graduates coming out of there is almost 50-50, male and female, which surprised me. But if you look at, as you know, first couple years with the industry, you see the disparity start, and then you know, up through middle management is when it really raises its ugly head, until the C-suite, which I think the Fortune 500, I think it's less than 5% of women represented in C-level positions in the Fortune 500. And that, you can't attack, as I've heard a Southwire executive say, so this is not my phrase, but she said it greatly, you can't begin to attack the skills gap until you attack the gender gap. And that's what we got to do. So I admire your efforts in schools and in these associations, and we will look for ways to continue to help support those efforts and love what you are doing in Savannah. I mean, APIC Savannah has been on fire, which is great.
Continues to be.
So let's talk about, as we wrap up with Larlee Bocade with DIRT, let's talk about how listeners can get in touch with you or DIRT or Apex Savannah.
Well, so they can come visit us at DIRT Savannah. We have an open door policy. We're not like a lot of manufacturers who have to be a little bit more cautious about who they invite. We have continually an open door to any employee that wants to come and be a DIRT bag.
Fantastic.
But if you want to reach DIRT, you can show up at 155 Knowlton Way, or you can call me at 912-996-0731, or you can go to DIRT and see what we do, and that's www.dirtdirt2t.net.
Doing it right the first time.
Doing it right this time.
This time. Oh, well.
There will be no second time.
That's right.
That's for sure. The DIRT. First time was still going.
That's right. DIRT.net, DIRTT.net. You'll come across a really neat story, and I love your open door policy because more folks that aren't manufacturing need to see it and meet the people that drive it and stuff like that. And then apexsavannah.org is the website for the chapter.
Correct.
And we've got an upcoming what's the dinner meeting? The senior manager's night or something.
Top management
top
night.
Top management
That's
night.
I should have saved you a little sooner. It's May 16th. It's top management night. It's also a member appreciation evening. We've just secured one of the greatest new venues in town. It's called the rooftop. It's the rooftop at the Alida Hotel.
Oh.
It's called the Lost Square.
The Lost Square.
There's a story there. It's a beautiful space where you can see all of downtown Savannah. So it's between River Street and Bay Street. And it's fantastic. And we'll have a plate of dinner. And we're going to have a very special speaker that night who's going to address supply chain.
Terrific. May 16th, open to members and non-members.
Correct.
Yep. And you can go to apexsavannah.org to sign up. And I can tell you, if you're in Savannah and, you know, the odds are that you're in logistics and in supply chain for sure, check them out. Great group. They'll welcome you with open arms. You'll meet great people like Larlee Bocade and Jeff Leroy and Bill Stankiewicz and a slew of others. So come out and join us on May 16th. That's a dinner meeting, right? Dinner
it's
event.
It's a dinner meeting.
Gotcha. Okay, great. Lost Square.
A couple drinks, too, if you'd like.
That's right.
That always brings people in. 5:30 to 8 on the 16th of May.
5:30 to 8. Fantastic. Well, thank you, Larlee Bocade with DIRT, for joining us, for finally being able to carve you out. I know your schedule stays packed, but we'll have to bring you back maybe end of the year, and we'll do a 2019 recap.
I would love it. And thank you for everything that you do, both for DIRT and all of us in this community and for Apex, for sure.
You bet. I get to work with great people and collaborate with great people. It's very rewarding. So that was Larlee Bocade with DIRT. Don't go anywhere. We might have you chime in a little later on in the show. And again, to learn more, you can go to DIRT.net or apexsavannah.org.
This episode of Supply Chain Now Radio is brought to you by Apex Atlanta, an association for supply chain management organization. Apex Atlanta provides supply chain thought leadership, networking, and certification opportunities for supply chain professionals and companies in the Southeast. Consider getting involved with Apex Atlanta as a volunteer or general guest. Student memberships are free and the networking opportunities are numerous. Supply chain certification workshops can be delivered at your offices and are also offered through a partnership with Georgia Tech Supply Chain and Logistics Institute. In 2019, CSCP and CLTD workshops are offered in a 2.5-day bootcamp format in June and October. Whether you're interested in better understanding inventory management and planning fundamentals, end-to-end supply chain management concepts, or logistics, transportation, and distribution, Apex Atlanta has something for you. For more information on the workshops, the certifications, or area networking opportunities, check out apexatlanta.org. Or send a note to info@apexatlanta.org.
All right, so our next guest today on Supply Chain Now Radio is Stephen Nottingham, CEO and co-founder of Friend Design. And before we bring Stephen on, we spend a lot of time talking what I'll call the traditional sectors of supply chain, right? Making aircraft parts or automotive or what have you. What we're going to touch on today with Stephen is the healthcare supply chain and some of the great things that Larlee mentioned, communication and streamline and design, the importance of design, are some of the big things that Friend Design is helping its clients, and especially in the healthcare space, other spaces, but especially healthcare. So good afternoon, Stephen. How you doing?
Doing well, Scott. Thanks. And thank you for sharing, Laura Lee. It was great hearing about all those awesome things happening at DIRT. So
I'm looking forward to hearing your piece.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we've got an interesting company to talk about, Friend Design. So Steven, let's start there. Tell us about the company and what y'all do.
All right. Friend Design was established in 2017. We are a specialized design firm that focuses in pediatric healthcare, creating purposeful play spaces and experiences for kids so that life-saving medical procedures are better understood and accepted by the young patients. So really touching on communication and activity, purposeful activity areas incorporated into the healthcare environment.
Mm-hmm.
And we also accommodate healthcare providers seeking specialized design services to develop new communication platforms for clinicians and supportive programs for parents and patients and families.
Mm. So let's in the warm-up conversation, you had a great story about a small baby in the ICU, mm-hmm. and that really illustrated the need for Friend Design and some of what y'all do. Tell us about that.
Yeah, traditionally, for a number of years, in terms of the perceptions of how advanced design could complement the medical expertise and through a careful collaboration could really start to cultivate purposeful programs that start adding to a library of resources, if you will, for clinicians.
And so when as we all are, if we've had a loved one in the hospital, mm-hmm. you know, we're humans, we're emotional, you know, our mind can be on, you know, their care and their status and how they're doing. And, you know, I've certainly had doctors talking in one ear as I'm kind of got my attention on others. And I lose a lot of that, what they're telling me to do, especially a lot of it can be technical, especially if it's, you know, not just a common cold and some, you know, advanced needs. And that's where I've understood, Stephen, that's one of the things y'all come in to address that gap, right? So that the communication can be acted on efficiently, accurately, and critically, right?
Yeah, that's right. And to kind of add a little bit further detail upon that, you know, for a long time, it's this highly contextual, sterile, mechanical environment that is not the ideal way to or the ideal environment mm. for patients in terms of healing. Mm. You know, you have to think that mental wellness has a lot to do with recovery rates. Mm. So the better the programs are in terms of integrated custom programs mm-hmm. for these physicians that solve deficiencies and problematic encounters that they specifically deal with mm-hmm. that have long been understood as not being able to be fixed. And this new design and collaboration between medical expertise with advanced design is allowing mm-hmm. Visual communication, which can be quickly recognizable and about 65,000 times faster than any mm-hmm. kind of contextual or verbal information, start utilizing those assets to create these pointed programs.
Love it. And, you know, in this, the fourth industry revolution is all about knowledge, right? And communication is how we convey that knowledge. So whether it's traditional supply chain or the healthcare space, being able to convey that, especially when it could be a matter of life and death, right? Mm-hmm. So it's even more as critical as our communication is, moving stuff or making stuff or what have you. When we're talking about treating patients and you know, taking care of them and protecting them, I mean, this is critical stuff, right?
Absolutely. You know, beyond the beautiful aesthetic that you're seeing in these vibrant new interiors of the healthcare industry, there's a concerted effort right now to kind of rise above the just having the best architectural facade or the mm-hmm. vibrant interior and this high level of physician, the best level of physicians, and kind of going into what is the overall optimum healthcare experience? Mm-hmm. Because currently we're kind of witnessing this like huge disruption and transition within healthcare where there's this actively combative dialogue taking place and trying to differentiate outpatient services from that quick retail approach or that convenience-based decision-making that consumers are leaning towards right now. So organizationally, those higher education medical institutions, private medical institutions, they have the economic resource to be able to clearly define what differentiates their service from perhaps a quick convenience-based decision.
So some of what you shared there, so we're kind of spent early on communication, right, and some of the programs that you are driving to help that. But some of what you just shared there is more on the design. You are doing a 600-square-foot room at some hospital, and you're very intentionally applying design, not where it's just based on aesthetics, but it's actually based on serving all of the patients. And because you spoke in the warm-up about how the – oftentimes, architecture doesn't necessarily take into account the diversity of the demographics being served, and how it seems like, I think if I heard you right, some of what y'all intentionally design with is taking that into account so that it's more functional. From a, is that accurate?
Well, I would take a step back in terms of the architecture. I'm certain that those considerations are taken, but there's been a clear advancement in terms of new strategic design disciplines that have not traditionally been discovered. That's service design, user experience design. Traditionally, in terms of the architectural space, basically, we're looking at integrating services behind these amazing structures to add further value and purpose behind the interiors of the healing environment or the healthcare environment that accommodate and assist the vast complexities that physicians face in terms of the patient demographic. Mm.
Complexity is right. You know, if there's anything that applies to the healthcare industry, there's a ton of complexity. So let's shift gears a little bit here, and you've got one heck of a team assembled, and so you serve as CEO and co-founder. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And there's an interesting story behind how you pulled this, how this team came together, right?
Yeah, it's a great story. I landed in Savannah, Georgia, to attend the Savannah College of Art and Design, and throughout my curriculum there, I had the opportunity to pursue a collaborative project with Gulfstream Aerospace. Mm-hmm.
Big friends of APIC Savannah, for sure. David Manns.
Very much so, yes. Yep.
So this was an unbelievable project with their advanced cockpit development programs, and just a very dense project that involved a tremendous amount of research and understanding, especially in aviation, and kind of throughout the midst of this incredibly challenging project, I wanted to stay fresh. So I encouraged my lead visual developer and my lead research strategist. We became awfully close very quickly, and we entered a design competition together and pitched our first solution in terms of how to advance the healthcare environment.
Love it.
Yeah.
And clearly that pitch was well received.
Yeah, so we took that idea and had some interest from folks in Atlanta, and decided with this viable interest that it was really in our best interest to pursue this and get it in front of the clinical audience to see what their overall take or view was on this.
And is the team all based here in Savannah?
We are based here in Savannah. We're a multi-international team, small team, very diverse, but amazing skill sets. One of my founding partners for this particular company has an extraordinary history. His name's Yinwan Zhang. Yinwan is a UX guru from Samsung, 10 years of experience.
Wow.
A number of technological breakthroughs in terms of mobile technologies, and we just had this incredible synergy working together, and we cultivated a tight-knit team, and we've just been able to grow very rapidly.
Well, you know, speaking of technology, one of the things we touched on with Bill this morning, who serves on the Logistics Technology Corridor Task Force, I believe, is a tremendous opportunity of making Savannah a technology capital, right? And in particular, for supply chain folks, you know, we hear about freight tech all the time. And if you look at the investment, the level of investment between fintech and freight tech, the freight tech is, it's incredible, right? Even with all the attention that the fintech industry has attracted. But talk to the technology environment here in Savannah. How conducive is it for technology companies like yourself to get started and then to blossom?
You know, it takes a lot of grit and determination, just like, you know, with any job that requires a huge level of responsibility, especially when you're dealing with human life, and it's even more elevated at that point. But what I would say is that there's a wealth of opportunity to gain insightful resources on a community level for new entrepreneurs or business people that are interested in going into business. And taking advantage of those early resources, whether it's mentorship, business development. I worked with the Small Business Development Center of Georgia from Georgia State University to kind of cultivate like the logistics behind projections and, you know, forecasting for, you know, what this company was set to do in the next couple of years.
Yep.
And so there's just an extraordinary amount of opportunity behind local level support and resource that I don't think a lot of people know exists. But that's probably one of my biggest takeaways is absolutely maximize. These are oftentimes free resources that provide a lot of senior mentorship and business experience and background, not always in exactly what you're doing,
right?
But certainly,
because what you are doing is pretty. That's, you have a very unique business, and it is a very. I'm gonna sound like I'm from I live in Walton County, but very unique and highly complex and intelligent business model that you're building and you're delivering, and so I'm sure a lot of the resources that you're engaged with haven't walked in your shoes per se, exactly at least, but still it sounds like you've really benefited from taking advantage of the resources that are in the beautiful city of Savannah, right?
Yes, and I think it also comes down to, especially when you're working in such a niche market, especially with like healthcare, there's a lot of red tape. You know, historically that's been healthcare and it still exists that way today. So there's tons of bureaucracy and you have the clinical innovative side, you have the legalities behind the, you know, behind the decision making and formalizing of contracts and things of that nature. It's still a very complex framework of, you know, how you actually get your product to that particular service. But, you know, as somebody new in that sector, just being a great listener and not, you know, not criticizing what I see, but trying to find opportunities to improve those processes is what's making providing new success opportunities for me.
So let's shift gears a little bit here and let's talk about some bold predictions for 2019. Where it's hard to believe it's March 1st. Those first 2 months flew by incredibly fast. But tell us, give us some fearless, bold predictions for 2019.
Man, I think we all know we're in for an incredible year.
Yes. I like how you think.
But I think specifically we're going to start seeing just much more activity in trying to create this work-life balance and also for organizations to finding great ways to embrace new technologies and still being able to marry that with the humanized workforce. There's so much that can be done out there, but, you know, machines will never take away empathy, and that's one of the biggest driving points for business. So I think finding those healthy ways to incorporate that, retaining the integrity of your company through employee engagement and things of that nature, client appreciation, those are going to be the drivers for 2019.
I love that. That's a t-shirtism. You can't teach robots empathy, I think is what you just said there. I love that, really do. I just got a note from Malcolm and the Supply Chain Radio research team. I got to be careful about Walton County. Just a disclaimer, I love Walton County. I live in Walton County. Come visit Monroe, Georgia. We love Walton County, so I can pick on myself. That's why I chose that. So, plus, what you describe with your business model, Stephen, is so fascinating, but it's so above my pay grade from a understanding of technology behind it. And that's what I thought you did a nice job with our listeners that may or may not be, you know, coders, programmers, technologists, and supply chain. But I think we have a better understanding now of friend design and some of the solutions you're bringing to the table in a very complex environment. So real quick, before we point people to how they can learn more, tell us about how you got, you kind of talked about how you formed the team, but how did you get in the position now to be CEO of a hot and growing company, Friend Design?
It was, as there has to be a leader behind a company. Mm. And I had to make that decision early on that was an assumption and a responsibility that I was prepared and ready to take on as a small company that mandates that I do a lot. Mm. And I think that one of the parts about growing a business, and for me especially growing as an individual in a profession and for my professional career, has just been challenging myself to learn more, even if it's not something that I per se will be handling or doing in the years to come. It's extremely important that I can clearly define and outline the processes and explain why I'm doing them. Mm. Or why I'm paying to have them done and why they're so important for our company. So it's been one of the great points of taking on that role and responsibility early on. You know, I'm an acting CFO. I'm an acting, you know, co-founder. I'm a coach. I'm a mentor. I'm a project manager. I wear a lot of different hats, but that's going to be a beneficial way for me to help, you know, coach the future of the development and growth of the company. I feel like having great knowledge from all these different areas is going to be critical in terms of creating that common understanding and that unified vision.
Absolutely. You mentioned earlier when we were talking about how your team was founded, mentioned the high level diversity. Speak to how important that is and how that level of diversity kind of helps problem solving, helps performance, helps innovation. Speak to that a little bit.
I think diversity really speaks to perspective. What we understand or have quantified value as here might be a completely different type of value that's for a completely different audience. It doesn't mean that it's going to serve the exact same purpose. It just means that there's different cultural awareness to take into consideration. I also feel like when you're developing for a larger audience, that to have those that infrastructure or that network of understanding behind cultural boundaries and understanding how to approach those types of situations, it just helps in such a number of different ways. And it's a great work environment.
A great asset.
Yeah,
great,
absolutely.
Great competitive advantage, I would imagine. Well, tell us, how can listeners get in touch with you and Friend Design?
Well, I would encourage anybody to stop by our website. It's Friend Design, FRENDESIGN.com. We have a support link inside of our website that anybody can get in touch with me, or you can seek me out on LinkedIn. And my name is Stephen Nottingham, and I'll be happy to answer any further questions. And I'd also love to connect with some new opportunities.
Perfect. Friend Design.com, and tell us real quick the story behind Friend Design, the name.
All right. So thinking back to a young child, how they might pronounce their friend, they usually lose the N, the D. So you have F-R-E-N, so my friend.
Yep.
That was the key root. We are Friend LLC, publicly known as Friend Design.
Love it. So learn more at www.friendesign.com, F-R-E-N, design.com. That was Stephen Nottingham, CEO and co-founder of the company. Thanks for joining us, Stephen. We're going to do the same thing. At the end of the year, we're going to bring you back, and we're going to talk about the year that was, but it sounds like it is going to be an incredible year for your company, Friend Design.
Thank you so much for having me today, Scott. I really enjoyed it.
You bet. You bet. Looking forward to checking back in on you real soon. So that wraps up session number two today of our Savannah Business Leadership Series. Big thanks to Laura Lee and Stephen for joining us. I want to wrap up on a couple of announcements. We've got the Atlanta Supply Chain Awards coming up on March 12th at the luncheon, which is sold out. We're going to be announcing the winners for this hotly contested first-year program. You can join us at the Buckhead Club, or stay tuned for some announcements we'll make with the winners after that luncheon. The Georgia Logistics Summit, easy for you to say, March 14th at the it's in Cartersville this year. They're going to be focusing on the inland port strategy, which Georgia is about to double down on, as the first inland port was up the 75 corridor, and they're about to place the second one in Gainesville, the 85 corridor. I think that's set to open in 2021, if I'm not mistaken. So that's going to be the big theme, March 14th, Georgia Logistics Summit. We ask you to join the Supply Chain Now Radio team there, and you can learn more at galogisticssummit.com. In May, the Association for Manufacturing Excellence is coming back to Atlanta with its Atlanta 2019 Lean Summit. Lots of great speakers, all focused on the world of manufacturing, best practices, networking. About a dozen plant tours from Caterpillar, Ingersoll Rand, ZF, which is a really neat green manufacturing company, Fiber Visions, a lot more. And that's going to be May, I think that's May. Well, check back in. We'll get you today. Maybe Malcolm look it up for us as we wrap up here. But you can learn more at ame.org. And if you can't find it, shoot us a note to scott@supplychainnowradio.com, and we will get it over to you, as we're happy to serve as a media partner. EFT is bringing its 3PL and Supply Chain Summit to Atlanta June 10th through the 12th. Home run lineup of speakers, senior level speakers from Land O'Lakes, Uber Freight, Cisco, DHL Supply Chain, UPS, many more. You can check that out at EFT.com. It's official as of yesterday that we're going to be broadcasting live from this event in June. Excited about that, so come see us, and 3 days of executive level networking with supply chain leaders from across the globe. Big thanks to our guests today, Laura Lee Bouquet with DIRT, and really enjoyed our conversation. I've always enjoyed our collaboration. It's good to finally kind of 30 minutes and learn more about your story. I learned some things about you that I didn't know coming in. So thanks for your time, Laura Lee. Stephen Nottingham, great to meet you. I'm really excited about what you're doing with Friend Design, you and your team. And wish you the best of luck this year and beyond. And looking forward to reconnecting with you real again soon. I need another cup of coffee on this Friday afternoon.
For a nap.
Or maybe a nap. If you have missed anything, if you can't find anything that you're looking for that we've talked about today, again, you can shoot us a note, scott@supplychainnowradio.com. You can also check out upcoming events, replays of our interviews, other resources at supplychainnowradio.com. Find us on iTunes, SoundCloud. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss anything. On behalf of the entire Supply Chain Now Radio team, including our pesky Malcolm with the research team, this is Scott Luton wishing you a wonderful afternoon, and hope to see you next time on Supply Chain Now Radio. Thanks, everybody.